Since March, the food and beverage industry has struggled to remain afloat during the ongoing novel coronavirus pandemic. In this segment, I am speaking with three business owners in the Westmoreland Selwood neighborhood of Southeast Portland. Though all reopened under Multnomah County's Phase 1 reopening orders, they are now shuttered again following Governor Kate Brown's recent freeze orders. Vicki Loring is the owner of Fat Albert's Breakfast Cafe, a family-owned restaurant that was getting ready to celebrate their 20th year anniversary being open. That's before COVID hit. I asked Loring about her challenges ahead.
Just the challenges for the mind of a business owner is you got to stay one step ahead. You know, where is this going to take the business? Are we going to be able to reopen? Am I going to have my employees? First time around, you know, there was fear, there was worry. Not only did it last longer than we thought, then they started discussing phases. And we were put in, as anybody knows about Multnomah County, into a phase one. The challenges were, you know, you want to keep your name out there. You want to keep your business going. You want to survive. And to the point where they're going to let you reopen, you thought you were going to reopen. So for Multnomah County, some of the other counties were able to open around us before us. And that kind of hurt our industry in Multnomah. And we didn't get the pop everybody else got, because once they lifted it and went to phase one, people just went out to literally 5 minutes from us, which is Clackamas County. So now we're facing another one. So yes, you know, this time around, you kind of know what to expect, but what you don't know what to expect is how long is it going to last? That's the fear. And the fear is, you watched during the first time around, we're talking long time restaurants, long time bars, 40 years, 20 years dropping off. Can they survive? What happened to them that they felt that they needed to close? You know, some businesses got assistance, you know, some businesses did not. And this time around, is there going to be assistance for us to survive this? We're being told it's a freeze. Maybe that's a nice way of psychologically making us think, oh, this isn't going to be very long, just a few weeks to get it under control. I mean, it's my livelihood. It's my family's livelihood. It's a breakfast cafe, so I also support the lives of my employees. You know, what's going to happen this time? You know, are they going to get help? You know, obviously I'm looking for, you know, some sort of assistance. I'll do what I need to do to try to survive this. For people that you employ, they have lives as well. You know, are they still going to be around? Are they going to last this time? You've got to think about that too. You might last, but, you know, they might have to do what they have to do to move on.
Following Governor Brown's March 17th shutter-in-place orders, bars and restaurants began closing their doors, leaving many owners scrambling to make hard choices. Loring became increasingly frustrated in attempts to secure economic assistance for her restaurant from both federal and local governments.
Yes, there were some of us that got help. There were some of us that didn't get help. So I'm hearing about different things. So the Earl Blumenhauer was really pushing for the Restaurant Act. Apparently, on his response to me, is it has been passed. Half the Senate passed it. The President of the United States was for it, but it's being held up. So we're waiting for that to pass. That's something that's coming from the federal government. It will be dispersed to each state. It'll be up to the governor to do what they want to do with it. Equally, I was also advised to check into a website that I was totally unaware of as a restaurant owner, and it's called the State of Oregon's Emergency Business Assistant Grant Fund. How I found out about this is I was pretty upset about when the governor came on a week ago and talked about the new, the freeze and how she wants it to be done. And then immediately following that, Ted Wheeler talked about how he had help from federal, but where is the state help from the state of Oregon for, in fact, small businesses? So he comes on, he says, well, we've distributed $20 million to the Reliance CARES Act, and we've distributed another $12 million, you know, through another organization. And I was shocked to hear that. Because I would like to know where and when and how was that made public knowledge and how was that distributed. So upon digging into this, that's when I was led to this website, which surprised me because I've never heard about it. I've talked to a couple other business owners in the Selwood Westmoreland community, small business owners, that being a key fact, and found this website. So on this website, I clicked on it. They emailed me at 2:45, so I didn't get my email right away. When I did get my email, opened it up, it said there was funds being given out to small businesses, but it was gone within minutes, and the applications closed at 3 p.m. You know, I talked to several business owners and nobody's heard of it. And apparently, this grant fund on this website is on its fifth round. So a little shocked about that. So, you know, we're all looking for, yes, how long is this going to go on? And are we going to receive assistance from the state of Oregon, which I don't think we did last time? There was two grants that went out called the Prosper Portland Grant, one in April and one in June, but it was for minorities only and women-owned businesses. In the Westmoreland area, I know a lot of the business owners, and I'd say 60% of them, if not more, are women-owned businesses. I contacted them all that I know. Not one person received that. So that was in April and then again in June. Kind of a small little bit of a grant by Prosper Portland, but that is not from money from the state of Oregon. So my question is, where is our assistance from the state of Oregon?
Ryan Rollins is the owner of PDX Sliders, an establishment that began as a humble food truck roughly 6 years ago, and since then has grown to include two food trucks and two brick and mortars. And though his doors closed in March, he was able to stay afloat by providing to-go food options. As Rollins enters the second round of closure, he is also facing concerns, which are beginning to sound all too familiar. How long will we be closed? Will I be able to keep my staff? And what awaits for me when we are allowed to reopen again?
The first go-around that we did was obviously a lot more challenging. We had no idea what, you know, we were getting into or what we were doing. You know, like everybody had to wing it. We did, you know, I think, you know, when the first shutdown happened, you know, a lot of stuff hadn't been ironed out, such as masks, distance, you know, all these things that have been changing monthly or weekly, even to date, that we've been trying to, you know, wrap our head around. You know, how can we make customers safe? How can we keep employees? How can we keep the doors open? And I think that's exactly the same thing that every small business owner, especially in the restaurant industry, has been trying to figure out. You know, some retailers can pivot to online sales or whatnot, but food has to be sold, food has to be picked up, people have to eat it. So a lot of logistical things, you know, went into that versus some of your traditional businesses. But, you know, we were fortunate in regards to some businesses where we already had Caviar, Postmates, Uber Eats, and all these different delivery apps. We already had all these set up. So just the sheer volume, though, of the increase, you know, made us have to pivot kind of the internal operations. And I guess more so than that was having to lay people off, which was not something we looked forward to doing and we didn't, you know, enjoy doing. And there's no easy way to lay one person off versus the other or anything like that. You know, some people go to a seniority model or whatever the case may be, but finding a way to get food out the door was okay. You know, letting people go was a hard part. So we had to have those difficult talks. We had to separate with some of our employees. Fortunately for us, though, it ended up being for only a short period of time, I think maybe a month or two, once we wrapped our head around and got a grasp of the volume that we were able to do and the amount of orders that we saw coming in, we knew how many people that we could facilitate. So a couple months into it, we were able to actually bring all of our people back and some. So there are some people, there's a couple that didn't feel comfortable coming back to work or chose to go the unemployment route for the safety of their families. Some people are immune compromised and all that stuff. So, you know, and we respected all that stuff. But nevertheless, we were able to bring everybody back, and that was, you know, really nice, and it made us feel better as a business, and we were, you know, very heavily supported, you know, by, you know, our regular customers and people in the neighborhood, and a lot of people that we had been given to throughout the year in various forms definitely showed up and supported us hand over fist, week over week, day after day, and it really got us to where we are here now for shutdown number two. So shutdown number two is a little less, you know, worrisome. You know, we're definitely very worried as far as like the industry as a whole, and there's a lot of people out there that didn't recover from the first shutdown, and there are a lot of people that never came back from the first shutdown. So all in all, we feel very fortunate to be where we're at. Again, though, we had to go through another round of layoffs, hopefully for a short term. You know, she said it's 4 weeks. I bet it's going to be substantially longer than that. So, you know, we're just trying to be here for our employees however we can, even if they're working for us or not working for us. You know, we got the food portion down, and we know how to get food out. We know how to get it to the customers, and we have that all ironed out. So our main thing is just trying to, you know, keep that alive, and that allows us to, you know, do what we can for our employees.
Chris Garcia has been the owner of the Cosmo Lounge for roughly 12 years and chose not to reopen on June 19th when Multnomah County went into Phase 1. She intended on waiting until Phase 2 with hopes of having longer hours and counter service. She eventually did reopen her doors mid-August, only to find herself shuttering again with Brown's freeze orders.
One of my biggest fears is how long this will last. I wasn't surprised having another closure. I, you know, assumed that it would happen. I kind of hoped that it would have been after the holidays, but, you know, we just rolling with it. And in regards to reaching out for any support, it's very limited. And there really isn't a lot of exposure for mapped out for us of where to reach out. Fortunately, I've been in contact with a great community of other women-owned bars and restaurants in Portland and just happened to learn of the grant that was being issued by the governor that we all heard on the news. And, you know, it had been, I had known about it, but I really wasn't clear on when and how. And I mean, as quickly as I learned about it, all the funds were actually already allocated. And that was a matter of 3 minutes. So it's challenging. It's hard to, you know, really have direction of how to navigate this. And I mean, my concern is for my staff, the community. We've really tried to follow the, guidelines for healthy reopening. My staff spends equal amount of time serving as much as cleaning. And I've had great input from my community. The patrons have been very patient and appreciative of the work that we've done. You know, oftentimes they'll have to wait a few minutes so that we can sanitize appropriately and just make sure, you know, we're following safety measures. So in regards to the closure happening and the bars and restaurants having to completely shut down again, I understand it, like, these aren't easy choices to make. And it's so hard with, you know, choosing who actually gets to stay open as opposed to closing. I feel that in a lot of ways, our industry has kind of taken the brunt of it a little bit. And maybe there would be more of a comfort level if we were being maybe inspected more. I'm really not sure how to move forward with that. It's hard. We're really trying to keep everyone safe. And but at the same time, I mean, the reality of not knowing when we could possibly reopen, and I mean, just having a closed facility is thousands of dollars a month. I've heard from patrons that, you know, our neighborhood businesses are some of the cleanest and really adhere to sanitizing very thoroughly. Most people appreciate that. Sometimes people feel inconvenienced and, you know, they'll say, well, we don't see this happening everywhere. And maybe that's a cause of, but I don't feel from the numbers that I've seen and from the information that I've watched from our local government, it doesn't appear that cases have really been traced back to our industry. But again, it's hard. I mean, I understand the frustration of, for example, parents and, you know, children not being able to be in school. And it's just so hard. But Portland being a service industry town, I've lived in Portland for 30 years. I mean, the service industry has been a huge factor in this community. And I'm really worried to take away from that.
As new COVID-19 case counts continue to climb, owners question as to whether they will be allowed to open in late December, as scheduled, with most anticipating staying shuttered well into January after the holiday season has passed. With hopes of the infection curve flattening and news of a potential vaccine looming, fingers remain crossed that an expedient return to another Phase 1 reopening will see Portland's businesses survive. For the bars and restaurants of Portland, this is just another chapter in the wrenching ongoing saga of COVID-19. For the KBOO Evening News, I'm Jeffrey Wade.